sports stadiums and large public venues come in all shapes and sizes. Some have domes, some have natural grass fields, some have banked concrete ovals where cars drive fast. While no two stadiums may be perfectly alike, there's one thing that all stadiums today have in common: a reliance on technology. This is the Stadium Tech Report podcast, where we talk to people on both ends of the stadium technology equation, including the stadium technology teams who deploy it and use it, and the vendors and service providers who supply it. I'm Paul Kapuska, editor of the Stadium Tech Report, and your host on the Stadium Tech Report podcast. Does your venue need a high-capacity, reliable network to provide a better fan experience? Did you know that Matsing's innovative lens antennas provide the highest capacity connectivity in stadiums and arenas globally, with only a few antennas needed to cover entire venues? Contact Matsing at matsing.com to discuss your venue's advanced connectivity needs.
JMA is a leading provider of distributed antenna systems in hundreds of stadiums worldwide, delivering the best performance, highest reliability, and lowest total cost of ownership. Our platform ensures that you're 5G ready when it comes time to add a private wireless 5G network to your existing venue infrastructure without a rip and replace, providing a foundation of wireless connectivity to improve the fan experience while reducing operating costs for stadium owners and broadcasters. Visit jmawireless.com/app to explore more.
Here at Stadium Tech Report, we talk about stadium connectivity all the time. We even do a yearly survey of the technology folks in venues and stadiums, asking them what's the latest issues they have and what are the challenges they face. But what about the customers? What about the event goers, the ticket holders? How do they think connectivity affects their experience? Recently, our friends at Bolden Networks commissioned a survey and questioned more than 6,000 fans to get their views on a wide range of topics. It's extremely helpful because too often we don't get to hear the voice of the fan when we talk about stadium technology deployments. We're joined today on the podcast by Jason Caliento, Chief Commercial Officer for Bolden Networks, to discuss their survey results and maybe extrapolate out a bit to put them in context for stadium owners and operators who may want to adjust their strategies to ensure that the voice of the fan becomes a way to improve the experience for everyone involved. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here. And as I just told you, I'm a fan of the podcast, so I appreciate the invite.
Great. We're glad to have a listener on board. Can you tell our audience a bit about yourself and what your role is at Bolden? And then maybe a little bit about how the idea for the fan survey came about, because it's a great idea.
Sure. So at Bolden, I'm the Chief Commercial Officer. Bolden Networks is a leading neutral host provider. So we fund, design, build, and operate state-of-the-art wired and wireless network infrastructure for cellular, Wi-Fi, and private network connectivity in large public venues. I realize that's a bit of a mouthful, but we really drive connectivity in large public venues. We work across a variety of verticals. So for example, we work in transit systems, we work on military bases, large mixed-use developments, and of course, we work in sports and entertainment. So in a sports and entertainment context, that means we have teams that engage every day with stadiums, arenas, and theaters to build out that cellular, Wi-Fi, and private network connectivity within the venue. Today, we work across really every major sports league, and we work with some of the nation's most recognizable entertainment venues. We also count on some of the largest venue operators as our partners. So, for example, Churchill Downs, ASM Global, Live Nation. And importantly, we have a lot of partners who are building new stadiums. So we count a lot of the new MLS stadiums, for example, as customers and partners. So the idea for the fan survey was really twofold. Well, first of all, we didn't find anything that directly spoke to a lot of our questions. There are lots of anecdotes, obviously, about enhancing the fan experience. And there's a lot of, I think, really great intentions from folks about enhancing the fan experience. And certainly lots of venues have their own proprietary view. But we thought it was really important to go get quantitative answers to questions, because there wasn't anything that hit this directly, I think. And appreciate your comments on this as well. I think you know, you said, hey, you know, I haven't seen anything that directly addresses these things quite in the way that this survey did. So the two big questions that we wanted to answer is, number one, what do fans want and how do we enhance their experience? And number two, who do fans count on for that experience? And really, we wanted to get to the why behind the what and be able to provide those insights to both our customers and our partners. We'll go through the findings, but there were some big reveal opportunities, I think, throughout it, particularly around driving revenue and attracting fans back to the venue. And while we come out of this technical arena, we realized that we can discuss the technical side all day, but the true real measure of success is how that translates for the fan directly. So we went straight to the source.
That's really great. And I really liked how the survey was broken down and how the data were presented in a way that a fan might actually think about an event. You know, how and why did I decide to go to an event? How did I do ticketing? How did I use connectivity to better prepare for an arrival? Can you talk through a few of those points and maybe outline the connectivity needs at each step?
Sure. So it's a great question. And first, I think let's start before the event. The stat that I like that came directly out of the survey was really answer the question of why would I choose to go to an event over watch at home? And in that case, 60% of the respondents said they go for the experience and to create memories. And so for me, that really resonates. I've got twin 17-year-old boys. That's why we go to live events. We go to create memories and have a great experience and all of those things. So I think that's really important for general context, because that said, people are willing to go to these events, but it's a big investment of time and it's a big investment of money for the most part. The overall theme in each of those kind of touch points along the fan journey is really about fans seeking efficiency and seamless transactions. I'll give you an example. So from our survey, and this is no big surprise, but 77% of fans are using digital tickets. And obviously a lot of that is driven by the venues at this point in terms of that's a requirement. But it's also one of those friction points that without great connectivity is a huge frustrator. We saw this at some of our venues over the years as we went from paper tickets to electronic tickets, where we had to expand the networks outside of the gates and really make it more about the approach to the stadium and making sure that there's full connectivity on approach, not just right at the gate. And so the idea here is that this is the first impression for the team. It's the first impression for the venue. So let's streamline that process for the fans walking the door. And so you need that ultra fast, strong connectivity right there. Importantly, the same thing really applies to the parking lots. A lot of what we see now is electronic ticketing in parking lots, also a big frustrating point if that's not frictionless and if it's not, if there isn't connectivity that can facilitate that early on. Then you get inside the venue and the experience varies from you're searching for seats, you're ordering food, you're ordering merchandise. And so some of the stats that we found that were important was 81% would spend more in the venue if it was more convenient to order food. Over the last couple of years, with what DoorDash is doing in stadiums, with what some of our partners are doing in stadium in terms of really increasing the window of time that they have to drive revenue by having food ordering is really, really important. One of the other stats was 57% of the folks said that they would spend more on food and beverages if they could order to their seat. That's a really important stat, one that speaks directly to the DoorDash effort and that really specifically, I think, drives revenue for the venue and is the type of insight we wanted to provide. So then you move kind of from the commercialization of connectivity and move into how do people want to share the fact that they're at the event? This probably isn't that surprising, but I was surprised that the stat was this high. 87% of fans, regardless of age group, are saying that they are sharing moments on social media. So personally,
it's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? I'm of that generation where it's like, I still kind of like watching the band. I don't want to watch the band through my phone, but obviously we've all been to the events where, you know, the kid in front of you is watching the band through his phone the entire time. What's interesting then is from a connectivity standpoint, not only are they recording it, but then they take excerpts and are uploading that. And that's really, we'll speak more to the connectivity needs here, but that's really what drives a lot of the connectivity needs in the venue is they're sharing social media and they're sharing video and they're doing it right from the event. And that drives a lot of needs within the venue. So one more point on inside the venue, and we'll talk a little about this as well, that 68% of the fans said that AR and VR technologies either are or will become integral to their fan experience moving forward. So when you think about that, and whether it's AR, VR, or another kind of 5G enabled application, be that streaming other games, gambling, accessing instant replays, I think what you're going to see is that there's just a significant amount of connectivity needs to enhance that fan experience as another touch point. I agree with you. We wanted to walk through kind of all of these touch points in that fan journey and make that really be the insights that we can provide to our venue partners so that they can really determine how they want to best put those insights to work.
When we return, we'll discuss how fan expectations and demands for wireless capacity have changed and what providers are doing to satisfy those needs. More with Jason Caliento after the break.
JMA is a leading provider of distributed antenna systems in hundreds of stadiums worldwide, delivering the best performance, highest reliability, and lowest total cost of ownership. Our platform ensures that you're 5G ready when it comes time to add a private wireless 5G network to your existing venue infrastructure without a rip and replace, providing a foundation of wireless connectivity to improve the fan experience while reducing operating costs for stadium owners and broadcasters. Visit jmawireless.com/app to explore more.
You know, what I took away from the whole thing is that if you haven't realized this before, if you're a venue owner or operator, the table stakes have really changed. I want to say, like, even just in the last couple of years, it's like, sure, we all came back from COVID. We had full stadiums. You know, let's be ready for whatever we used to be ready for. It seems like the things we talked about that might happen are actually starting to happen. Like you were saying, they're not just taking videos. They're streaming them live. They're providing commentary as it's streaming live. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, venues were still trying to say, you can't record the performance live or we'll arrest you. You know, we'll come up in the stands and take your phone and put you in handcuffs. And you know, now it's completely the opposite. And then the commerce and the ticketing. I mean, for all their connectivity smarts, so many fans still wait till they're right at the gate and go, oh, I didn't download the ticket. And to your point, you know, putting connectivity outside is necessary. It just seems like across the board, the table stakes have increased. Do your venue partners see that, or is this the kind of thing that helps, like, inform that conversation?
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about expectations, because I think that's really what the inception here was. So we've known, certainly from a technical perspective, and our carrier customers certainly have known from a technical perspective, and we've been able to see this, that fans are using exponentially more data in venue. And specifically, we've seen, as I just referenced, an exponential increase in the amount of data consumed on the uplink. And so from our experience across all of our portfolio, there's no question that data consumption driven by video increases every year. And that's obviously a big emphasis in sports entertainment venues, but really across other verticals as well. So if that's the quantitative side of the technical aspects that we're seeing, we really wanted to address the qualitative side of expectations. And so from our perspective, staying at home is pretty easy in today's world, right? There's countless entertainment options. There's countless food options. Folks are looking for something similar now when they go out, and they're looking for an immersive experience, and they're not just looking to be a passive spectator. They want to be a participant and be part of the show and be able to share that they're part of the show or the game, whatever the case may be. And so from an expectation standpoint, I think what the survey shows is that our venue partners can't be passive in this either. And so I think for a lot of years, we've seen, okay, I'm a venue owner and I'm going to wait for the wireless carriers to come provide connectivity for me. Right. Maybe I'm going to do my own Wi-Fi, but I'm going to do that as inexpensively as possible. And certainly until recently, we didn't see any investment in things like private networks in venue that wasn't driven by a wireless carrier or somebody like us. I would say that set of expectations has definitely changed, because I think what the survey bears out, and I think these are really important stats, that in terms of connectivity, 35% of the respondents said that if it's a poor connectivity experience, they're going to place blame on the venue itself. And that's a big shift. 15% say it's the home team or the performing act. So that's basically the same thing. It's the same as the venue. So you've got over 50% that are really looking to the venue to solve this. And about 40% then understand and say, hey, it's our wireless carrier. So the big takeaway to that is the venues have the most to gain or lose here. I think what you're finding is that the wireless carriers are finding, hey, if somebody has a bad connectivity experience at a venue, they're not necessarily churning off of their plan with us. But if you have a bad experience at a venue, you may not return, or you may not buy season tickets, or you may not tap into any of those things that drive additional revenue for that venue, because you can't. And so I think the big takeaway for our venue partners is that the needs here are real. And if you wait on somebody else to solve this problem for you, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. I would add to that the idea that, you know, and this has come up over several conversations I've had most recently, that a lot of people who come to venues or come to events, even, you know, if you're a big follower of a team, you may only go to one or two events a year. You know, you may only go to one concert, one big concert a year. And so the venue, this is like to the quality of the connectivity, right? If it doesn't work the first time, people aren't going to keep trying it, right? Talk to that a little bit, if you could.
Sure. I mean, I think there's kind of two parts of this. So from a table stakes perspective, from the fan perspective, your phone simply needs to be on and remain connected really at all times. So you've got the bars and the bandwidth to do all of the things we mentioned previously, all on demand. That's table stakes from a fan perspective. The other thing from a fan perspective is an app. Is there an app that helps me with my game day or show day experience? In prior shows, you've profiled some folks that have great apps, and it makes a world of difference. But those apps don't work unless you have great connectivity. From a venue perspective, we firmly believe, and we see this bear out, that the table stakes are cellular, Wi-Fi, and private networks. So you need high-speed, ubiquitous connectivity with multiple carriers. You need a complementary Wi-Fi network that can be fan-facing, and importantly, provide the venue with insights and data about fans that they can't obtain through the cellular carrier, so through the DAS. And then importantly, private networks for back-of-house operations. We've been doing a lot with private networks in sports and entertainment context, really around point-of-sale and payments, related to safety, and importantly, now related to video. And that video can be both for surveillance as well as being able to enhance the fan experience with specific camera angles and unique camera angles and those types of things. So we've got definitive view that that's what the table stakes is for the modern venue. And again, as a neutral host provider, we're committed to providing that across really all of our portfolio.
When we return, we'll discuss how private networking might be able to help provide some of the new in-venue services fans are seeking. More with Jason Caliento after the break. This episode is also brought to you by Matsing. Does your venue need a high-capacity, reliable network to provide a better fan experience? Did you know that Matsing's innovative lens antennas provide the highest capacity connectivity in stadiums and arenas globally, with only a few antennas needed to cover entire venues? Contact Matsing at matsing.com to discuss your venue's advanced connectivity needs. I'd like to expand on that private network part a little bit more if we could, because it seems to me from a networking and certainly from a security and latency and all those things, some of the things that the fans talked about that they would or might do, including AR, VR, and maybe, you know, signing up for a special channel that, like you said, provides, you know, camera angles. Can you talk a little bit about how private networks might enable that a little bit better? Because it seems like, you know, that's something we've been talking about for a while, but now you're starting to actually see it out in the wild.
Yeah. So the way that the private network facilitates that is you're going to have a crowded cellular network. You're going to have a crowded Wi-Fi network. And so the whole concept here is let's create a purpose-built network that can service those fan-facing experiences where you're not competing for bandwidth effectively. And so if that's using CBRS spectrum or another spectrum, which we've done some of as well, you've got this purpose-built network that can then go enhance those things. So some of the stuff that we're working on that front is, for example, if you're in the, call it the nosebleeds, or you're up in section 400, can you have a camera angle that is actually center court? Can we give you an angle for a basketball game that makes it feel like you have courtside seats? And what? So you're not going to watch the whole game that way, but maybe you're going to watch highlights that way. Or maybe when LeBron has the ball at center court, you are able to see that in a different way than from your existing seats. So we're experimenting with a number of different providers and a number of different use cases along that front from a fan-facing perspective. From a back-of-house perspective as well, same concept for video. If you can, for example, have wireless video where you don't have to trench a parking lot so that you've got great security in your parking lot, or if you've got a specific need around a specific asset and the asset's there temporarily and you just want to set up a camera, all of that back of house can be supported as well. And then additionally, we're seeing things like sponsorship activations that are unique that, again, trench power or connectivity to that activation, and you're able to do that all on a private network. It creates a commercialization opportunity for the venue to use parts of its venue that perhaps it hasn't because it doesn't have that infrastructure in place. And so all of that can be facilitated with a private network. One of the things that we're doing is we're building up, we call it a sandbox, but it will be a showcase. It's at what's called the Cowtown Coliseum outside of Fort Worth. And it's a great venue in part because it has about 250 events per year. So we're going to get a lot of cycles of repetition where we'll have a private network that's running where we can bring in different cohorts of applications and basically showcase what those applications can do for all of our sports entertainment partners.
Yeah, I think that's really important because in this industry especially, there's nothing more powerful than seeing something actually working, whether it's in somebody else's venue or, like you're saying, it's sort of a sandboxy type test bed. That's not just, you know, here's a room in our office. It's like, no, this is a real live venue and it's happening here.
Yeah, it'll be cool. We'll invite you down to take a look. We're excited about getting it off the ground here and having it really support a series of use cases that drive commercialization and lower costs for our venue operators.
I know we didn't have time to dig into all the details, and I would say to our listeners, we will have a link on the page of this podcast where you can go and still download the survey because it's really great. I mean, I spent probably a couple of hours just digging through it, looking at all the interesting things, because really, you sort of go along, and when you pay attention to the back end and you don't sort of wander around the fans and watch what they're doing, although I have been doing some more of that lately, the concessions results in the survey clearly reflected what I had seen. You know, people want stuff fast. They want it to work. They want to use their phones. What I want to ask you maybe as sort of a closing thing was, what did Bolden Networks itself learn from this survey? I mean, you guys probably had to take something away. Were there any surprises? Did this kind of confirm a lot of those strategies and plans you had started down a path with? You know, what was sort of the internal takeaway?
Well, I think first and foremost, people appreciate the effort because, like I started with, there wasn't something heads on the way this survey was written to just really get to it. And so, again, I would call a lot of it has been great validation of some anecdotes, but also refutes some anecdotes about how people think and behave. And I think that's really important. So I think one big takeaway for us is that we're going to keep this going. So we'll do updates to this regularly so that there's kind of a body of work around connectivity and the fan experience and making sure that that stays updated. And so we're going to keep it going, if you will. The big takeaways, though, one, it definitely confirmed our belief that superior connectivity experience is central to fan enjoyment. Another key takeaway was the breadth of the fans' digital engagement. So that it's not just social media, it's not just ticketing, it's really the entire digital footprint of their event experience that matters. And so I think that's really important for venue operators to really understand. Another aha moment was what we referenced before is who the fans will hold accountable for their connectivity. Again, it's about taking control of your own destiny, if you will, and not outsourcing that to third parties. And so it's really important that venues take accountability for their communication infrastructure. And all of that, I would say, reinforce our vision to deliver a connectivity platform that's as dynamic and multifaceted as the venues and the fans that we serve. So overall, we're pleased with the body of work and are looking forward to continue moving that forward so that it supports our vision and supports all of our customers and partners.
That's great. And really that blame question, I think that may be the one that resonates most with our listeners who are, you know, venue providers, because they probably hear it themselves, but to see it put in such plain words, I don't think it's a wake-up call, but it's certainly, you know, a message that, to your point, you know, don't wait for somebody else to do this, because when your guests come, they're going to expect it just like they expect water and just like they expect a nice, comfortable seat. So, Jason, thanks for joining us today. This was a great conversation. We're looking forward to more iterations of this in the future. There's nothing better to me when you not just do a survey once, but then you do it a second time, and then you can come back and look and say, what's changed over the next year? I mean, that's the fun part, right?
That's right. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you being here.
We'd like to take a quick moment to thank the sponsors of Stadium Tech Report, whose support allows us to continue our efforts to bring our objective, unbiased, and unpaid-for content to the stadium technology marketplace. Our supporters include our co-producing sponsor, AmpThink, our survey sponsor, Verizon, our podcast title sponsors, Matzing and JMA, and our newsfeed sponsors, which include Wicket, Boingo, Bolden Networks, and Comscope. The Stadium Tech Report podcast is brought to you by Stadium Tech Report, the go-to publication for stadium technology news, analysis, and commentary. Technical production for the Stadium Tech Report podcast is led by creative director Dan Grimsley and digital designer Jackie Wen. Web and design work is by John David, Matthew Lowe, and Finney Koshy. All contents of the Stadium Tech Report podcast are copyright Stadium Tech Report. Audio, video, and print content may not be reused without the express written consent of Stadium Tech Report.